Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, I thought I was fine. You know, I thought I was fine yesterday.
Okay.
So, you know, it was all good. And then I was watching the hockey game last night, and right in the first pit, you know, they start talking about Kyle Okposo. You know, they never mention a tremendous comeback from him. You know, these terrible concussion issues he had.
Yeah.
Where, if you ever read the story on him, I mean, he was, I mean, down and out. He missed not just missing game time, but like missing lifetime with some of the issues. I mean, the couldn't really speak well for some period of time. Had to really get his life back on track. Able to come back in the league and play. And, you know, they never mentioned that.
No.
They mentioned, you know, they played for the Buffalo Sabres. You know, that, oh, yeah, we talked to the Buffalo Sabres GM. It was about 5 to 7 minutes or so into the first period. And they were, you know, talking about this. I think Buffalo got like five mentions. And I'm
right.
Just like, you know, it's okay. Like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah,
you don't, like, don't bring us into this. We're not there. We don't, you know, you don't have to mention Buffalo at all. That would be great, actually.
But
so there was that.
It is noteworthy, I mean, of the former Sabres who have gone on and won a cup that together in Buffalo.
Then, watching the second period, there's Kulikov, you know, saving that puck from going in the net, and then it goes to the stick of Sam Reinhart, who scores the Game 7 winner, game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup Final to win the Stanley Cup. Like, wow, there is no bigger goal you can score in your career. Then the, you know, that is the, that's the driveway goal.
Very few players even get an opportunity to score that goal.
Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
The cup winning goal. And there's Sam Reinhart, who I remember the Sabres drafting. And like then, you know, I just see that and I go, like, come on. Just, why?
It's
like, why? I was fine yesterday. I was fine. And then that happened. Like, come on. And I'm seeing everyone raise the cup. And you got all the five former Sabres on the team raising the cup. And just like, you know.
Why us?
Give me a break.
But it does show you, and I think heading into the season, that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Lindy Ruff. Not just winning, but to turn around the negativity that is surrounding this organization. And I think you just, again, you look back in the talent that we had played together that now are on different teams or on the same team and have won the Stanley Cup. Like, it is a complete, when you think the Buffalo Sabres, it's a lot of negativity right now, and it's a lot of pressure, I think, on this team this year.
I mean, it's just brutal. And then, like, you think back to, like, all right, O'Reilly traded him and then was the playoff MVP, won the Stanley Cup, and then Eichel traded him, and then he wins the Stanley Cup. And Reinhart, you know, it took a couple years, but traded, and now he wins the Stanley Cup with Okposo and Kulikov. Those are five guys who were all on this same team here in 2016. Those 2016 Sabres, it must have been really good. No, didn't make the playoffs.
Can I go look for the banner?
Yeah, but like, that's the part that really gets me, right? It's not that you have all these Sabres and they're doing so well when they leave. It's that when they were here,
they were together.
It weren't even good enough to get into the play. It's not we came close a couple times with these guys and they go on and they do their thing. You know, it's
awful.
Not Derek Plant leaving and then winning the cup with the Stars the next year here. And the year before, he was in the conference final and went into the playoffs and scored some pretty big goals for the Sabres. Like, no, it's just players. We never got in the playoffs.
Barely sniffed the playoffs.
Or had much fun just in general.
No. That 10-game winning streak in 2018, that was the most fun the Sabres have had in a few seasons.
Yeah. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I go to all the games. I have fun at the games, and it's a great time. There were some nights this past year.
Including
against the Panthers.
There's some fun games.
But great time. I went on like a stretch of over a year where I didn't go to the arena and leave without a smile on my face because we were in a nice little stretch there.
Yeah.
It was rough. Like, I thought I was fine yesterday. then I, you know, I'm seeing all the images early this morning, saw the game-winning goal from the former Sabre, and it's it just all comes back
to hit
you again.
Doesn't hit as hard as Eichel last year.
No, that was the worst. That was the lowest moment in Buffalo sports history. Right. So you can only go up from there.
Right.
But what I'm realizing is it's not as far up as I thought.
No.
It's like right next to it.
The Sabres would actually have to do something to really start moving up.
I just, I don't know. It was, it all was kind of hitting me. There is one thing that I was reading. Greg Wyshynski, who writes over at ESPN, who I know he's very fond of Buffalo. I love him because back when I was in college, he was one of the few people who would come on our college radio shows.
It was
hard to get people to come on your, you know, little station in the middle of Brockport, New York, and do any sort of radio. Everyone would just be like, you know, they give you the one of those.
Was it a real radio station?
Yeah.
Yeah, try to get people on an internet-only radio station in college.
Yeah, that's not a radio station. No, we had a pretty good signal. But anyways, he would come on. So anyway, I like him. He wrote this big, long piece this morning that it's the one thing that gives me hope, Joe, for the future, because the Florida Panthers are the Stanley Cup champions after winning last night. There was no bigger joke in the NHL than the Florida Panthers for a long, long time. I mean, they were the lowest of the low. They went 25 seasons without winning a playoff series. Now, we're sniffing up on 20 here pretty quick, and we're 13 without being in the playoffs. So, you know, we're not that far off, but he details all the giveaways they were doing, how low priced the tickets were, the attendance woes, the, you know, people joking about this and that when it came to the Florida Panthers. I mean, they were the butt end of every single joke. Everyone in Canada was like, why don't you just move the team already? It should be move it back up here to Winnipeg or Quebec or anywhere outside of Florida. Like, it was the joke of the league. I mean, quite frankly, they were a lot like the Sabres over the past few years. They're in the middle of this big playoff drought. The only thing is it snows here in Buffalo, so people aren't like, what are they doing playing hockey there? Like, you look outside and you go, yeah, I can see it. But it gives you hope that things can eventually turn around. You can go from the lowest point to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. It is funny that the Panthers had that long stretch without winning a playoff series because they started so hot. I mean, as an organization.
Yeah.
I mean, until the Golden Knights, they were the quickest franchise to be formed, and then
they were in the final Cup.
Yeah.
Like right away.
And then
nothing.
Nothing after.
Nothing for 25 years. And there's a quote in that story from, I think it's the team president. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's basically like, hey, you go 25 years without winning a playoff series, you're going to lose a couple generations of fans there. And it's just, you know, it just reminds me a lot of the situation we're in. And there is a little bit, there's a glimmer of hope there. You can turn it around. I hope.
I believe. We sat here through a Bills drought, and now look, I believe the same is coming for the Sabres.
How much would you sell that ticket for last night? So everyone was noticing that, you know, when the anthems were going on, the beginning of the game, how loud the Oilers fans were.
Of course.
And I always hate when I see this, and it happens here when, like, the Leafs are in town, or, you know, people talk about a Bills playoff game, people selling their tickets. And whenever, you know, people talk about fans selling their tickets, it's like almost always assumed, you know, if you're tweeting about it or you're talking about it, you know, here on the radio or something, everyone always talks about it as if you're only selling the ticket to the other team's fan, right? Like, it never comes into anybody's mind. So these Florida Panthers fans who had tickets and were selling them for thousands of dollars a piece for Game 7, you know, everyone wrote about, oh, these Panther fans selling their tickets to Oilers fans. So you don't, there's no, like, questionnaire you fill out when you're selling your tickets. Like, I'm only selling it. It's like when people sell for the Toronto games.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I mean, is it probably a Maple Leafs fan that you're selling your ticket to? That's a reasonable bet.
It's to the odds, yeah.
But it's not like you sought out a Maple Leafs fan, or you're buying it for whoever pays the price. Right, it's America.
I do think the people in front of me at the Highmark Stadium, because every game this season, I'm not exaggerating, every game this season, the people in front of me were fans of the other team.
It's the same thing happened to me at the arena. But you know what? I don't look at the people who own the seats and go, why do you only sell it to people on the other team?
But I'll tell you this. If I'm a fan of the Florida Panthers, I mean, again, I love money. Don't get me wrong. But I know, like, I felt so low last year when I sold tickets to the Bills-Dolphins game. Like, I don't know if I could ever sell it to a playoff game, no matter what the... I mean, again, if the money was, you know, could life-changing, yes.
So that's, like, the part that gets in. You know, these tickets were selling for anywhere from between... I think I saw maybe $2,500.
Yeah.
But, like, $3,000, $4,000 a seat to get into that game last night. And what you just said is what makes it interesting, right? Because if it's life-changing money, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And, you know, $3,000 is you can do a lot of things with that money. You might even be able to pay your tax bill in Lackawanna next year. But you can do a lot of things. But is it life-changing? Probably not. Right? It's not, like, quite at that level. You're not reaching the five digits yet.
Right.
So... you would be very tempted to sell that seat, I feel, though. $3,000 for a ticket to a game.
I'll put it in this situation. If a Bills game, I could make $3,000-$4,000, and my, let's just say, the license fee at the new stadium for where I sit is going to be somewhere around that number. Okay, now, to me, that is life. I mean, that saves me.
So that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I think the, in my brain, now, I don't think I could have sold that ticket.
Again, if we're talking five digits, I definitely could have parted with it. Again, I don't think that's realistic. But if that was up there, I would have definitely had to.
Yeah, I mean, where I sit, you're not getting five digits.
No, I mean, right. Our tickets at the respective stadium and arena, it will never, be offered that.
But I don't think I could do it, you know, if we're talking the Sabres in this situation. I don't think I could do it just like you have the opportunity to be there for the first, like the thing everyone's been waiting for. Like the very first one on home, you know, everything that goes into it. I don't think I could do it. Now, if they won the Stanley Cup and this was like 2 years later, they're in the finals again. Yeah, I could sell that ticket.
Yeah.
I hope they're playing Edmonton.
For sure.
Where apparently everybody's rich and can fly to Florida. That's the other thing. Like, people in Edmonton.
Those Canadians, man. I mean, you talk
the
to Toronto.
The oil industry pays a lot of money.
You talk to Toronto fans when they're down here. You know, they come down here, they go to the game, they stay at our hotels, and they say, cheaper than most Leaf games.
But I don't think I could. But if I would, I feel like the... you know, equation in your mind has to be like this. It's like, whatever you're selling the ticket for, could you fund an equal experience?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I'm giving up being there for that game. Like, the reason you have the tickets, really.
Right.
Like, the reason you have the tickets is to be there in case
they're assured. You're assured to see a Stanley Cup celebration. Now, maybe not your team, but you're assured to see
the
cup lifted.
But if it's your team,
yes.
Like, that's the moment.
50% chance.
Am I getting money in return that I could have a similar experience? And what is that similar experience?
That's what it depends on.
Like, am I getting enough money in return to spend a week in Hawaii?
No, because I can do that. I can work hard and still go to Hawaii. Like, you want something that matches the feeling and excitement of Game 7.
Yeah. And you're, like, there's no guarantee you'll ever be back at that, right? It might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, I do like what you said. The second time, if it happens again in 2 years, I could sell you that ticket.
I'll be standing outside.
Yeah. The first time, though, franchise first, like, if somehow I got into the arena for a Game 7 Sabres Stanley Cup, if somehow my hands got onto that ticket, there's no party with that ticket.
I mean, it's like the conversation we had with the Bills, right, during the playoffs. Like, what's your price for? Like, what would the price be for that? People were going like $3,000, and I just can't. I would love everybody who's, you know, it's the man in the arena, right? Like everybody who doesn't, who has no skin in the game whatsoever, commenting online, like, oh, these, I would never sell my ticket. Somebody came up to you with $3,000.
Yeah.
For, it used to be a piece of paper, but now it's just on your phone. That's a hard time saying no.
You got to think about it. I'll tell you this. I couldn't do playoff for playoffs. I could do playoffs for national championship. If someone offered me a ton of money for a Bills playoff game and Virginia Tech was in the national championship, I could. I could do that because that would be probably a better experience because we're talking just a playoff game compared to the national championship, but I don't think that kind of money, again, would ever be offered for five rows from the end of the stadium. So I don't think it's a position that I'll ever have to worry about. But that would be... Now, I couldn't do it playoff for playoff. Say it's like Virginia Tech's in the first round now of the college football playoffs, and it's the Bills. No, that's not the same feeling. But a playoff Bills game for a national championship, okay.
Well, hopefully someday we have to...
Yeah,
make the decision. Again,
for me, I mean, the only thing I'll be doing is moving probably closer to the end of the stadium, if not out of the stadium, in 2 years. So maybe this will be something I won't even have to be considering.
I do kind of feel good about it. You know, if I take the former Sabres out of it, I do feel good for Florida, for that team that was in the dumps for so many years. Like, basically my entire life, basically their entire existence. They've been around for 30 years. And for 25 of them, they've been a joke.
Yeah.
So, like, it just kind of shows all you need is, like, a few good years and a few good moves, and you could be different. And if we had that team 10 years later, or, you know, 5 years later instead of in 2016, maybe that would be us. But
you know what? You know. The season's over, and the Sabres are tied for first.
Turning the page. That's right. We're right there in first place with everybody else. So we got a lot going on here on WBEN and much more to come. You, by the way, you're throwing the first pitch.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
That's right.
We're watching the forecast for this.
Yeah, I'm glad what Aaron said. 3-4 o'clock, not 1 o'clock. So
I have a suggestion, by the way, for this first pitch when we come back.
Okay.
And I think it should be, it's not just you specific, but it should be like going forward, especially outside of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Going forward. I have this suggestion.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it.
I think you might like it. We'll figure it out coming up. That's next. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brian Masurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. Was saying just before the break, you know, we're all watching the forecast for tomorrow because Joe's throwing out the first pitch at the Bisons game and want to, you know, make sure that that happens. Looks like there's rain, but hopefully not doing the first pitch. You know, the first pitch is not actually the first pitch. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, they should make it the first pitch. So this is what I'm saying. You get to throw out the first pitch. Sometimes they call it the ceremonial first pitch.
Yes.
You know, you go on and you do the thing before. I think anything below Major League Baseball, if they bring you on to throw out the first pitch, it should be the first pitch of the game.
Yeah, and then someone hits a line drive and hits the person who threw the ceremonial first pitch.
Well, you
got to
watch out. I mean, you signed the waiver. Yeah. You need to be, you know, the count is 0-0. Here we go. Here is the first pitch of the game. And then you have the announcer. All right, throwing out tonight's first pitch before we get to our starting pitcher of the game. Here's Joe Beamer. All right, he's making his way down. No one really knows what to expect here. Hoping for a strike. You know, knocked out of the park.
Or you hit the batter with a 20-mile-an-hour.
Yeah. it doesn't reach it. That's ball one.
Yeah.
And now we'll bring in, you know, Lefty Rodriguez, who's thrown the first.
That's the thing. You know, the schedule says first pitch 105, but the actual my first pitch, the one that we're all looking forward to,
will
be before that.
I think they should make it the actual first pitch of the game.
That would be very interesting.
And then you'd really be selective about who gets to throw it.
Yeah. And then you'd be tested for a sticky substance on your hand, which...
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it all comes with the territory.
So, I mean, when you have someone throw the first pitch, they're usually like in shorts, a Hawaiian shirt. So now the...
You would have to be in full uniform.
Yeah.
Full uniform. Stirrups.
I'd be like Mike Pelfrey. I'd wear a mouth guard just in case I got hit in the face.
Yeah. I think you should do it. Someone asking on the text board, 803-0930 here on WBEN. Someone's asking if we're taking bets on where the ball is actually going to go. They're betting you're a horrible pitch. I don't think so. I think you're going to go in between the batter's box over the plate.
Well, thank you, Brian.
In between the batter's box area.
Yeah.
So, like, the outer lines of the batter's box. But that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'll get the ball to the glove.
Yeah. If you've thrown a ball before, like, every horrible first pitch is always somebody who, I mean, literally looks like they've never thrown a ball before.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's going to be pressure, right? It's like when we watch Wheel of Fortune, and you're like, how did they not know the word? How did they not know that letter? When you got the bright lights on you, you know, it's going to be the bright lights of
the sun.
Salem Field on you. You're going to have, we got half of Odyssey at this freaking game for Odyssey Day at the park. I got my family there. You know, it's the pressure's on, Brian. I am worried that the pressure's going to get to me, and I'll have a little sweat on my hands, and I'm not sure they're going to let me get the rosin bag before I throw the first pitch.
What if you pick that up like you're Bill Murray or something? You know, like some of these people are allowed to do, like, if you're a big enough star, you could do whatever. Like Bill Murray, didn't he run the bases around on opening day one time? He was throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah.
And then just, like, you know, ran around. Everyone's like, well, it's Bill.
It's Bill, yeah.
He's allowed to do whatever he wants. I don't think you are.
No, I touched the rosin bag. Who the hell's that guy?
Yeah. What's he doing? Get him out of here.
Yeah.
We're taking your tickets away and kicking out the entire family, too.
And they're going to kick all of Odyssey out. Like, hey, no more day at the park. He touched rosin bag.
No more pitches. You're done throwing them. I like it, though. I want full uniform. You throw the actual first pitch of the game from the mound. You do it all.
You have to bring your glove. And I do think there's an age where it's not appropriate to bring your glove to the field.
You could borrow one.
Yeah, borrow a glove.
I think you'd borrow the uniform. Just be the same uniform for all the first pitch people. You have to change out of it every single time.
I when I was in college, they used a Madai baseball player in the bullpen as the bullpen catcher. And we thought that was the coolest thing. And actually sat along the bullpen just to heckle him throughout the game. That was cool. That was a cool experience.
Isn't that what everybody does?
Yeah, of course. You know someone in the bullpen?
Heckle the bullpen guy.
Can't do that anymore, right? Now the bullpens are in the outfield.
Oh, you can still go back there.
Yeah, but
yell
it's not
at them.
It's not as accessible as it was back when.
I mean, they were right there.
Yeah.
You'd heckle them, and then, you know, at the switchover, hey, can I have that ball?
Yeah.
Like, I know I've been calling you a loser for the last hour, but... ball, please.
I do think we all, throughout the game, he did throw, I think we all got one from the, that was the school, you know, Little Madai College, RIP, having their baseball catcher in the bullpen.
He's never invited back because he threw away all the balls.
They probably were wondering, like, where are all the marked up balls?
Everyone left with the game used baseball that day.
He just said, well, didn't you count the foul balls?
The other team couldn't practice throwing because just all the balls were thrown away. Like, we don't have any balls? Like, no, sorry. Yeah, this team, right? Meanwhile, there's 150 of them in the stands.
They're at Madai.
No, I don't think that would work.
Actually, we took them, and that's what Madai used for their baseball team. That's how he saved money.
Save money by taking the used balls. All right, this is the big plan. We're going to get somebody over there into the little dugout there, and you're going to just take all the balls.
Yeah.
That's right. I like it. We're looking forward to that. That's coming up, by the way,
tomorrow. I'm telling you, I'm getting nervous. I mean, number one, will it actually happen? I'm hoping the rain holds off. But I just want to make sure that it's not the... I know you say it's good. I don't want it to be the most embarrassing thing. Like, I don't want people to talk about how Joe couldn't get the ball across the plate or near the plate.
I think it would.
I don't want the 50 cent, you know.
It would be funny. I'll still try and convince you to do it. You get it over the plate, you know what? No, everyone's going to forget about it.
That's fine. That's fine. I won't.
You don't want the highlight?
No.
I think you have to throw 75 plus strike or hit an innocent bystander, and those are the ones that get remembered. Anything in between is just...
I'm fine with no one ever talking about it again afterward. I'm excited for this opportunity. I don't need the guy who hit the expensive camera equipment. I don't want to be that guy. But there's the pressure of, as I said, family, work. I've got some friends that are coming out, and then also the players from my favorite MLB team will also be there watching the first pitch, Brian. It's a lot of pressure. I don't want Brett Beatty saying, "Oh, you won't believe this guy in Buffalo they had throwing the first pitch."
Yeah. Well, looking forward to that. That's, by the way, a 1 o'clock start, though you want to get there a little bit early to see Joe tomorrow at the Bisons game. Did you see this? The State Department of Transportation announcing that Western New York will receive $18 million, part of an effort to reduce traffic congestion and vehicle emissions. They're reconfiguring Maple Road and North Bailey, that intersection, which is that a bad intersection? I've never really, it's a busy intersection.
Yeah,
it's right by where there's a Walmart, and that's Tom's Diner. That's, I'm thinking,
that's
of
Sheridan.
The right
one. That's Sheridan.
Oh, Sheridan.
It's a block down.
Yeah, I'm getting everything mixed up there. Okay, Bailey and Maple Road. All right, I could see that being a little... That needs to be wider.
I was just going to say.
Actually, now that I think about it, I've gotten into an accident near that intersection.
Yes, you did.
Actually, right there.
It needs to be wider, and now you have the space. You have two empty restaurants diagonal from each other. The space is there to widen Maple Road.
Yeah, before anyone moves in, quick.
Yeah. Well, by the looks of the auction, no one's running to move in.
But, I mean, that's... All right, so that's one that could be... Now, I remember I got in an accident there. I was entering the roadway trying to make a left-hand turn.
That's right.
And someone comes screaming down, like, riding that middle section where it's... It's, you know, if I was in their position, you could go, well, it's like a murky area. You know, even though it's technically one lane in each direction, there's a little space here for you to zip down and get into that turning lane where it opens up. I would say, well, it's not a turning lane until there's a turning lane there.
Yes.
Hit the car, and apparently it was my fault because I was entering the roadway, but that's the way those things work. Anyways.
Don't you hate that when you thought it was... That's why I, ever since that, Brian, if I'm ever in that parking lot, I go out, and then I'll just... If I have to go the other way, I'll go down a side street or something. I will not go out that side of the parking lot.
Yeah, neither will I anymore.
But here's another thing about that intersection. It's going to get even busier once that Costco opens up, because you're going to have people coming from this side of town that'll be taking a right-hand or left-hand turn onto Bailey turns into Ridge Lee to get to Costco. So you're just going to add congestion there.
There is going to be. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, every penny of this should probably go toward that intersection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's going to need it. Over $1 million in the city for electric bicycles with docking areas, a 20-car electric car-sharing fleet, and EV charging stations at various city-owned lots. In Clarence, some new sidewalks, the new signals in North Tonawanda, NFTA going to get 10 more electric buses and related charging infrastructure and additional $5 million to pay for the changeover to electric buses.
We've heard nothing but negative about these buses.
Yeah.
And now we're going to buy more.
We had actually a greener bus.
And it doesn't run anymore.
Well, no, it does, but now they're switching to all electric. The natural gas-powered bus.
That's
but
right,
now,
that was the big thing.
Natural gas is the enemy.
As Sean Ryan told you, what we know, it changes, which I can't wait till what we're doing now changes in 10 years.
Till when everyone figures out where the batteries come from?
Or where they go when they when they die.
Well, we didn't know this. Well, some people did.
Yeah.
New information has come to light. Actually, it's not that green.
Electric bikes. What's the obsession with the electric bike?
Okay, well, this gets into what I was going to ask.
Okay.
So $18 million to reduce traffic congestion and vehicle emissions. You have $18 million. What road are you fixing? What are you doing for Western New York roadways right now? Whether that's getting rid of something, adding a new lane to a particular intersection, or whatever it is. What are you doing? Where are you doing it with all the money? You're the one person in charge who gets to do this. You don't like the e-bike idea.
No, I'm not a fan of the e-bike idea. The reason the bike is to get a nice workout going. I love the public bikes. I've taken those in New York and Miami.
Your reason for riding a bike is to get a good workout in.
Well, yeah, it's to move a little faster than walking, but not be lazy.
There are, you know, a lot of people would have a reason for the bike is to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Ideally, no workout because point B might be work, and you don't want to be all sweaty.
That's right.
So they do serve a purpose. I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them for this reason. They're the worst things to drive with on the road. So again, you know, there's one. I by the way, $18 million, I'm re-blowing up Niagara Street.
Okay.
Just completely redone. It's brand new. It looks great. I don't think it works. Every time
it looks great, but doesn't work?
It looks great, but it doesn't work. I mean, how many things can you say that about? It's like everything you buy, you know, for $2 on some Chinese website. Oh, looks great, doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's, to me, that's the Niagara Street downtown. Looks phenomenal. Dare I say, 20 million times better than what it used to look like. It doesn't work. The road is too narrow. There's this big new bike lane, which I love. I'm a fan of getting bikes off the road. It's where they belong, off the road. I don't want them sharing the road. Get them off the road. I think that's where it belongs. But they've created now between the parking, the bike lane, it's too narrow to drive.
That's true.
Down Niagara Street in the city of Buffalo. And you know how you can tell it's too narrow? Because when you go to certain stops lights, the line for the stop sign is so far in front of, or for the red light, it's so far in front of the traffic signal. I mean, it's 3 to 4 car lengths in front of where you would normally stop, because if it was right up there, cars would not be able to turn onto the road. They would hit you.
Unreal.
So, and when you're driving it, you know, you're used to the line being where the line normally is, a little bit in front of the intersection. But if you're driving the normal way, you're a whole car length ahead of where the line is. You're in the intersection without actually being in the intersection because it's so narrow. I would take the $18 million and just redo the whole thing. And you got to widen it up or make that bike lane shorter. Because again, I love that you have the bike lane there. I don't want the bikes on the road. Every time I drive down Niagara Street, I'll be lucky if I see two people on bikes.
Yes.
And that's in the middle of summer and everything too, when the weather's nice. There might be two people along that entire bike lane that I see. That's personally where I do. But again, back to the e-bike. It's the worst thing to drive next to on the road. It doesn't even matter the street. I was going to say, especially like residential streets or like 35 miles an hour or so, because driving around a bike is a pain and that can stink. But it's like, all right, I'll just pass this guy here and then I'll be done with it. Like, I won't see this guy again. The e-bike, it's at that speed where it's just, again, he's riding it in the road. And so you have to make a maneuver to get around him. And then if you come to a stop sign, no one on these e-bikes stops at the stop sign. Mm-hmm. They just roll right through like any other bicycle does.
Right.
And now, you know, now they're next to you again. You can't shake them. If you're going down one of these, you know, places with a bunch of stop signs or red lights or anything,
that's the worst.
You're just always dealing with it, and I don't want to hit you.
Right.
Like you're watching out for other cars, and now I'm watching out for this guy who's going in between cars. They're the worst things on the road.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But if I had to take the money, Brian, I would spend it on Maple. I think Maple's a great idea. And this is something I've talked about a million times. Maple Road. A lot of people travel it, not all at once. It's not overly congested, but Maple Road between North Forest and Sweet Home has been, I've worked here for 14 years. In that 14 years, it has been the worst stretch of road right next to the intersection at Cayuga and Worley. It's been the worst stretch of road in Western New York. That doesn't mean there's not worse, potholes here and there. But for a stretch of road, it is the worst to drive on. And since they made the little Band-Aid patch job, it's even worse. It's even worse. It's so uncomfortable to drive on. And then, while you're doing all that, how unsightly it is at those fields. Now, I know this isn't transportation, but I want an excuse to bring this up. Those brand new beautiful fields that Amherst built, but you've got all of this overgrown grass and whatnot blocking the fields from Maple. It's an eyesore. That's where I'd put the money. I would put it on Maple, but I would keep it. I would clean up Maple. Let's not do another Band-Aid. It's worse to drive on with the Band-Aid, and there's no sign.
Isn't that amazing? It's actually the Niagara Street problem, because it's tough for me to be so like mad at the Niagara Street reconstruction when, again, it looks a million times better. It looks so much nicer than what was there. And for the first 15 years of my driving career, right, from like 16 all the way to, you know, I mean, when did this get complete? All the way to about when I was 30. I mean, right, we're only talking a few years ago where this was complete. It was like one of the worst roads. It was like driving, you know, the Lunar Rover, right? It was one of the worst roads to drive on, and it's nice that it's smooth.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice that it's smooth.
It's an upgrade.
But it's still how they did. I think it's way too narrow. And it's almost as annoying to drive on now as it was back when it looked bad and had all the craters everywhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing my entire time driving, even before I was 16 and got my license, Maple Road has been in that terrible condition in between, basically, from Flint all the way to almost Transit.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And how that, and they've done a million different road construction projects. I remember they were testing out different versions. That didn't work.
No.
What happened there? Did we go with the one that was performed the worst? Because it has always been, bunum, bunum,
yep,
bunum, bunum. I mean, my son knows it. If we're ever driving, why is it so bumpy here? I'm like, buddy, just Maple Road. Hopefully you never have to drive down it when you're older.
Yeah, I mean, they should be tearing that up instead of Sheridan, which they're doing piece by piece right now. There is, I forgot. This is, you know, this is the suburban bias. I forgot. Main Street going into downtown. I'd say Main Street from the 198 to downtown. That is, I remember it well from when I was in college, and anytime I go down Main Street now, I'm reminded it is, you want to talk about just needing the rover to drive on that, Brian, it is awful, and you get to certain intersections, and they haven't changed. It's still, we're talking about, oh, we're opening up Main Street to get people downtown. Well, when are they hopping on? Because they're not hopping on between the 198 and Theater District, because it is, it's awful. I'm always looking for a way. Okay, I'm going to go, you know, to Elmwood and continue going down. I cannot stay on this street. It's awful for my car. And that has been the case when I was driving the PT Loser, when I was driving the 98 Ultima, and when I'm driving this car now. That road has not changed in the 16 years that I have frequented the Route 5.
Yeah, it's. I can think of a lot of projects to be done, but that Maple Road one is a just because of how long it's been, and it's in such a popular area. It's basically the exact same things we've been saying about Niagara Street for so many years before it got completely redone. But how can this always be one of the worst roads to drive on?
Yep.
And yeah, it's brutal. That's what I would do. Personally, I like your idea, Maple. I would redo all of Niagara Street after you just did it, just to make it a little bit wider. But again,
we should run for office.
It's just me. 18 million will not go there. But we will both be back here tomorrow, Joe.
That's right.
Big day for you. We'll be watching the weather. You got David coming up next after the news with Lucas. BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.